We know one thing for sure with this Sacramento Kings season, and it's that the Kings will not lose all 82 games. Finally, a victory for Sacramento, and they do it on their home floor, defeating the Miami Heat at the perfect time, right before they go on their first major road trip of the season. De'Aaron Fox turned in one of his most impressive performances of his career, and he did it without scoring the ball. I'll explain on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter for ABC 10 News. I'm standing here on the court inside the Golden One Center. Hopefully the audio is a little bit better this time than last time. Yeah, the Golden One Center crew is still working. Hopefully not as much clanging and banging as after the Memphis Grizzlies game. But this is a better podcast to listen to anyway, of course, because the Kings finally won a game. And there are so many things from this game that I want to talk about. So many things to break down. I have a notepad here in front of me that's just covered in scribbles, things in the margins, things everywhere, all over the page. I wrote basically an essay of stats and moments and talking points and things that I want to get to. So there's going to be important moments from this game that I just skip over or that I forget because of everything that I want to talk about. So I'm going to need your help with that. If there are things about this game that you want to talk about, let's talk about it in the comment section down below. If you're watching on YouTube, you can send your thoughts to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack. If you want to tweet me publicly, you can also DM me privately, and feel free to send an email at any time, mattgeorgesports@gmail.com. So many things that I want to talk about from this 119-113 Kings win over the Miami Heat, who for some reason in the De'Aaron Fox era, the Kings just always seem to play very, very well, even though the Heat are one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. But out of all the things I want to talk about, I have to start with the game that De'Aaron Fox put together, really the fourth quarter that De'Aaron Fox put together. In my opinion, one of the most impressive De'Aaron Fox performances, not just of the season, but of his entire career. And my favorite De'Aaron Fox performance from this season. Yes, that includes the two 30-point games. I think he had a 33-point game on opening night, followed by a 36-point game. Those games were great from De'Aaron. But this fourth quarter was probably some of the best winning basketball that I've seen out of De'Aaron, period, in his career. You look at his stat line, you look at his numbers, you see 17 points. You're like, okay, that's kind of a ho-hum game for De'Aaron. He was capable of scoring in the high 20s to low 30s on a somewhat nightly basis. 5 assists. Okay, that number could be better. It's a little bit below his average so far. You see 13 rebounds. You go, holy smokes, what a number. That must be what Matt's talking about. 13 rebounds for a point guard against a physical team like the Miami Heat. That is massive for someone like De'Aaron, and the Kings could use every bit of that rebounding from him. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fourth quarter, the winning basketball that De'Aaron Fox put together. He only scored 4 points in the fourth quarter, and yet it was one of the best quarters of his entire career. Tyler Hero was going supernova, just supernova. He was red hot for the Miami Heat. He had 15 of his 34 points in the fourth quarter, when Miami was leading that charge, battling their way back into the game at one point, got it down to a one-point game after the Kings led by 22, and everybody, every Kings fan in this building was going, oh God, here we go. Not only are the Kings going to be 0-5 to start the season, their fifth loss is going to be a blown 22-point lead right before going on a four-game road trip. Kings fans were expecting it. I know you were. And if you were more optimistic and knew that the Kings were going to pull out the game, hey, all the power to you. I'm glad you were right. Trust me, I'm glad you were right, because I was sitting up in that media section over there thinking, oh God, this is not going to be a fun one to talk about on the Locked On Kings podcast. But De'Aaron Fox, he didn't single-handedly by any means win this game for the Kings, but he is definitely the reason that the Kings won this game, in my opinion. Tyler Hero is going off. He gets to, I think, 32 points. And the Sacramento Kings suddenly put De'Aaron Fox on Tyler Hero. Now, you're going to hear from Mike Brown in a little bit. It wasn't that Mike assigned De'Aaron to take on Hero. De'Aaron took that upon himself, and this is not the first time that we've seen this season. I mentioned to you during the Los Angeles Clippers game how De'Aaron asked Kevin Huerter to take on or took the assignment of guarding Paul George on from Kevin Huerter when Paul George was having a massive game. De'Aaron is showing leadership on the floor, on the defensive end of the floor, by taking on those big assignments. He took on the Tyler Hero assignment, and he had four possessions in the final handful of minutes, four possessions guarding Tyler Hero that stood out to me. And in those four possessions, he contested all of Tyler's shots. Tyler went 0 of 3 in those four possessions with a turnover. And in one of those four possessions, De'Aaron Fox was actually switched on to Tyler, closed out well on an open three-pointer enough to contest it, so Tyler missed. De'Aaron defensively made the winning plays necessary to keep the Kings in the game. The Kings didn't need scoring from De'Aaron, they needed stops. And that's what he delivered in that moment. Fox was everywhere. He was everywhere in the fourth quarter. Again, only 4 points, but who cares? He was involved defensively, he was involved in the offense, he was drawing a crowd offensively, finding open guys. I love every bit of how De'Aaron Fox played. Plus, this is important. You're going to hear De'Aaron talk about this in a second, too. De'Aaron has always struggled as a free throw shooter, right? Always struggled as a free throw shooter. That's something that he's talked about multiple times over multiple seasons, something that he's focusing on, something that he's working on. We know free throw shooting has been a struggle for the Sacramento Kings for the most part this season, but not for De'Aaron. De'Aaron has hit 11 straight free throws over the last three games, and De'Aaron is shooting 81%, 18 of 22 from the free throw line. 81% for De'Aaron is really solid. You would like to see it get into the mid-80s, of course, and hopefully he can keep climbing, but I will take 81% from De'Aaron Fox every day of the week. He's delivering in so many different ways, stepping up as a defender. One thing that really stood out to me is how he's using his quickness and his feet to defend, not his hands. He's cutting guards off. He's not letting them blow by him just because of that lateral quickness that he has, that quick first step, and then using his body to cut off a ball handler who's trying to attack the rim. That's something that he has not done in the past. He's either fouled with his hands or allowed a defender to just go, or offensive player to just go right by him. We're not seeing that from De'Aaron Fox this season. I could keep gushing about the man. I love what I'm seeing from him, but I also have to talk about Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis finished with 18 points, an extremely efficient 8 of 9 shooting from the field, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. All 18 of those points came in the first half. That's because in the second half, very early in the third quarter, Sabonis picked up his 4th and 5th fouls, got into some major foul trouble that would play a major factor in this game. But in the first half, to open up this game, Sabonis looked like the 2-time All-Star that the Sacramento Kings traded for. He was dominating in this paint right here. Dominating. There was nothing the Heat could do to stop him. And they were doing it via pick and rolls. They were doing it via offensive rebounds. Domantas Sabonis was having his way on the inside as the Kings were having their way in the paint for the entire first half. And I'm going to dive into that great first half in just a little bit, a little later on in the show. But where this game changed, where this game really changed, the Heat put together a really strong third quarter where the Kings struggled taking care of the basketball and also struggled with fouling again. That's what allowed the Heat to get back into this game. They did a lot of that with Sabonis out because of that foul trouble. Credit to the Miami Heat. They could not stop Domantas Sabonis on the inside, so they got him into foul trouble to get him out of the game. I give them a lot of credit for that, because had Sabonis stayed out of foul trouble, I think he would have put up a high 20s, maybe flirted with 30s points per game performance with how dominant he was in the paint in that first half. But Sabonis picks up his 6th foul right around where I'm standing. And it was to call it a late whistle, I think is the understatement of a century, right? Sabonis steps in front of a defender or an offensive player who's attacking the basket, puts both hands in the air, takes the bump, shot goes up, shot rims out. Sabonis tips the ball, then catches the ball. So like 5 seconds have passed since the shot went up, and then the whistle is blown. That's the 6th foul. Sabonis fouls out of the game. And here we are again going, oh, here is where it changes. At that point, the score was 104-100. The Kings just barely holding on to their lead. Domantas Sabonis, who's been arguably their best player on the night, fouls out. He's played a grand total of 5 minutes and 52 seconds in the second half. It was a recipe for a Kings loss. It was written in the stars. It was a story that we've read and seen so many times before over the last 16 years. Even if Sabonis wasn't on the team that long, De'Aaron Fox hasn't been on the team that long, it doesn't matter. We've seen Kings lose games this way so many times over the last almost 2 decades, right? Seemed like it was happening again. Sabonis fouls out. Again, 104-100 the score at that point. So how do the Sacramento Kings respond? They outscore the Miami Heat 15-13 over the final 5:52. You got to give a ton of credit to this Kings team as a whole. They rallied. They didn't sink at that moment. They didn't fold at that moment. They rallied. They lost one of their best players, and they picked up the slack. They didn't drop it. That's huge for this Kings team. That's winning basketball that we haven't really seen, certainly this season, and that we haven't seen consistently over the last 16 seasons. That's a really big deal. Now, we need to see it more often before we can claim that this is who this Sacramento Kings team is, but to see them able to do it, capable of doing it against a team that's as good as the Miami Heat with championship aspirations like the Miami Heat, it was a really big deal. A really big deal, and I give this entire Kings team a whole hell of a lot of credit for how they were able to rally. Enough of me blabbing. I'm going to take a break. I want you to hear from head coach Mike Brown. I asked Mike Brown about De'Aaron Fox taking on that defensive assignment of guarding Tyler Hero at the end of the game. Mike Brown talks a lot about the only thing holding De'Aaron Fox back from being an all-star. Then you're going to hear from De'Aaron Fox talking about taking on that Tyler Hero defensive assignment, also talking about his free throw shooting. And you're going to hear from Domantas Sabonis about that sixth foul, what he saw from his teammates picking up the slack after he fouled out, and some more great stuff. Also show some love for Rashawn Holmes, who stepped up in a major way with Sabonis fouling out. Here are the three, Mike Brown, De'Aaron Fox, and Domantas Sabonis.
Mike, Tyler Hero had it going in the fourth quarter, and then I counted 4 possessions after that that De'Aaron guarded him 0-for-3, 3 contested shots, and a push-off offensive foul. Did he ask for that assignment? Did you assign him that assignment? And what are your thoughts on how he took that challenge?
No, he wanted the assignment. You know, he definitely wanted the assignment, and that's part of what I said before. You know, Tyler Hero's a great player, and, you know, he's got a lot of bags, a lot of tricks in his bag, you know. And for Foxy to do what he did down the stretch against him and then do what I'm asking him to do offensively to generate points and good looks for us was tremendous. But I'm telling you, is the more he gets put in those situations with an opportunity to win the game, in my opinion, that's the more you're going to see him step up in a lot of different areas so people can understand that he's got a complete game. At the end of the day, the only thing, in my opinion, that should hold him back from being an all-star is if our record's not good enough at that time. You know, but he's going to fight, and we're going to push him to continue to play, to continue to try to play at the highest of high levels because he's more than capable.
Tyler had it going in the fourth quarter, and then you had 4 straight defensive possessions on him where he went 0-for-3, also had an offensive foul. Coach Brown says you asked for that assignment. One, is that accurate? And 2, what were you trying to do just for him with how good he was going?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he had it going. And for me, you know, when I guard that, I feel like that I'm not guarding gets it going. I feel like I can use my quickness, my length to be able to just disrupt him and try to throw him off, try to get him out of a rhythm, anything that I can do to basically get a stop, and I feel like it worked tonight.
In past seasons, you've talked about the focus of free throw shooting for yourself. I think you were a perfect 5 of 5 tonight. You're shooting in the mid-80s so far this season. Is that still a major focus for you personally?
Yeah, definitely. I think tonight I shot 5, shot 3 and 3. So I've shot 11 free throws in the last 3 games, which is 11 for 11 in the last 3 games. 3 games shooting 11 free throws is crazy for someone that touches the paint as much as I do. But whenever I get there, just knock them down.
What were your thoughts when that whistle blew on that 6th one?
I don't know what I can say, but it was definitely very late. It gave me a chance to tip the rebound, then grab it. So 2 jumps, and then it was called. So Definitely sucks, you know, not being out there, you know. You work so hard to be in these moments, you know, at home against one of the top teams in the league, and being out the court in those last minutes is the most fun part of the game, you know. So, but I'm just happy we left with a win.
Your guys were able to hold on. What did you witness from the bench, how they were able to do it, and how proud were you of the guys for closing that out?
Great. You know, we fought till the end. It was playoff basketball, you know, putting in defensive mismatches at the end, Tyler Hero going off, Jimmy Butler going one-on-one, you know, that was playoff basketball, you know. That's how all the games are going to go. It's going to be one-on-one, look for a mismatch, and make the best read, and I feel like we did a great job.
Rashawn had his number called in the big way, having to take over those minutes. What did you assess of how he was able to come in?
He's been great. He's been ready. He's been ready all training camp. I've told him it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but I know it's definitely going to happen a lot more times where I'm in this situation. So the more he can stay ready and take advantage of it, it's going to make us really tough.
Is there a sense of, now that you've gotten this first win, almost like a breaking of the seal or the dam breaking a little bit, and now this team's really going to get a flow?
Of course, you know, we played tough opponents our first four or five games, playoff teams, and to know that we're in those games and have a chance to win didn't break us. You know, we kept being together. Today was an important one, like you said, before the road trip to get it, and we're just excited to finally move past it, and hopefully now we can play our game.
And like I mentioned, Rashawn Holmes stepped up in a major way for the Kings in 21 minutes. Had to play a lot more minutes than he was expecting, especially in that second half because of the foul trouble that Sabonis was in. He did only finish with 5 points and four rebounds, so not the sexiest and most exciting of stat lines, but I thought Rashawn Holmes did a lot of good things on the defensive end. He was physical. He was present. He looked as locked in as he has looked all season long, at least to this point. He was a big reason why the Kings were able to hold on there in that fourth quarter. It was good to see Rashawn Holmes not getting back to that peak offensive Holmes that we've seen at times in years past, but looking solid and being a fundamental part of the Kings being able to hold on and win this game. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks, in my opinion, is the best way to play daily fantasy sports, but especially daily fantasy NBA basketball. The way Prize Picks works is you pick 2 to 5 players and you bet or take either the over or the under on their scoring totals for those games. You get it right, you can win up to 10 times your money. You don't have to worry about managing lineups. You don't have to worry about going against sharks out there who make money off of gambling and NBA basketball and things like that for a living. You don't have to worry about anything. It's you versus the numbers, you versus the line, the house, or that the house sets at Prize Picks. It's a great way to play. It's a ton of fun, and they're a great sponsor here of Locked On Kings. If you use our promo code when you sign up right now, Locked On, you can get an instant match up to $100 of whatever you deposit. So you deposit $100, you get $100. If you deposit $50, you get $50. That's the offer that Prize Picks has for you right now. Make sure you're playing Prize Picks, the number one way to play daily fantasy sports. All right, let's talk about that great first half that the Sacramento Kings put together. So much fun in that first half. Although we knew, even with the Kings bringing a big lead into the locker room, we knew that the Miami Heat weren't going to go away, right? And actually, De'Aaron Fox said something about that after the game, too. He said, look, we knew that they were going to come. We knew they were going to go after us, so we had to be prepared. And they had to work to close out that game. But the first half was some of the best basketball we've seen the Sacramento Kings play. They shot 63% from the field, 45% from three-point range. They were getting so many paint touches, so many good looks because the ball was going inside out, and they dominated inside. Their points in the paint, 36-14. They shot 81%. In the paint as a team in that first half. Yeah, you're going to dominate a half if you're getting to the paint that easily and scoring that easily around the rim. Of course, a lot of that had to do with Domantas Sabonis. The Kings also had 17 assists in that first half to just 7 turnovers. Now, the Kings ended the game with 20 turnovers. So 13 turnovers in the second half, way too much. But only 7 turnovers in the first half. The ball was moving. The Kings were taking care of the basketball. They were getting out in transition. They were getting inside out, which are, I'm talking about pillars of Mike Brown's offense. The Kings were clicking. And then defensively, I thought they looked the most solid they have overall, especially on the perimeter. Bam Adebayo scored the first 6 points of the game, I believe, for the Miami Heat. All of them were in the paint. That wasn't great. But the reason why Bam was getting so many looks at the rim is because on the perimeter, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, it didn't matter. The Kings were playing, I thought, really solid perimeter defense. They were communicating, they were rotating, they were cutting off cutters, they were not getting blown by. It was refreshing to see. And then you look at the game that the stars turned in for Miami. Jimmy Butler, just 13 points on 4 of 11 shooting, a really inefficient shooting night for him. Kyle Lowry, 15 points on 3 of 8 shooting. First off, Kyle Lowry only taking 8 shots. That's a big deal. Second off, if you've watched Kyle Lowry from his time in Portland and his time with the Toronto Raptors, Kyle Lowry has been the Kings' killer over the course of his career. I came into this game expecting Kyle Lowry to have a big night. He did not, and he really didn't get going and didn't score most of his points until like that late third quarter, early fourth quarter time. Now, of course, Tyler Hero had a big game. Bam Adebayo had a big game. But you didn't allow all the stars to beat you. And more importantly for the Sacramento Kings, and this has been something that they've struggled with in the past, you didn't allow the bench, the other guys, to beat you. If you're doing all the hard work to keep Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry out of the scoring column, but you're allowing their 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th men to come in and really bully you, it takes the wind out of your sails, right? It's almost depressing. Well, the Kings only allowed 19 bench points. That's a big deal considering they allowed, what, 45, 47, something like that, to the Memphis Grizzlies just a couple of nights ago in this building. That's very clear improvement. I haven't even talked about the leading scorer for the Sacramento Kings yet. Kevin Huerter putting in a near career performance. He was red hot tonight from 3-point range. He shot 8 of 9 from 3, if I'm not mistaken, or was it 7 of 8? Excuse me, it was 7 of 8 from 3-point range. And his career high is 29. He finished with 27 points in this game. Great to see, especially because he's coming off of a game where he got injured. Only played like 19 minutes or something like that against Memphis. We weren't sure how bad the injury was. He looked totally fine, and the Kings rode that hot hand for the majority of this game. He was shooting well from start to finish. It wasn't just one quarter or one half. Across the board, Kevin Huerter is shooting the ball well, and that's perfectly apparent in the numbers that he's putting up from three-point range so far this season. He's 20 of 37. From three-point range this season. That's 54%. It's a five-game sample size, but 54% from Kevin Huerter. The Kings were hoping that he could continue to be his low 40% average three-point shooter when they traded for him with that Atlanta Hawks move. I'm telling you, as of right now, they've beyond won that trade, and every time he shoots, that trade just looks better and better for the Sacramento Kings. Do I expect 54% to carry over or carry on for the remainder of the season? No, but we're seeing that Kevin Huerter is capable of being very effective as a high volume three-point shooter, and he is going to be enough of a three-point threat that it opens up opportunities for De'Aaron. And if you are gonna guard De'Aaron, just like you have to keep an eye on Keegan Murray, just like you have to keep an eye on Malik Monk, you definitely have to keep an eye on the perimeter on Kevin Huerter. What else? Oh, also, 6 assists for Kevin Huerter in this game too. So it wasn't just the fact that he was scoring and lighting it up from three-point range. He was also distributing, finding his teammates. He led the Kings in assists with 4 at halftime, finished with 6, which ties Harrison Barnes for the most for the Kings this game. Getting it done for your teammates, getting it done with your jump shot. A great performance from Kevin Huerter in this game. Keegan Murray had a very sneaky good game. It didn't feel like watching that Keegan had the most phenomenal game. He was solid. He was missing some open shots. It didn't seem like a big standout performance from Keegan. But 22 points, 8 of 13 shooting from the field, 3 of 7 shooting from three-point range. How can you not take a performance like that? We're almost already getting used to Keegan just being a sneaky good bucket getter. And honestly, Keegan Murray hit one of the biggest shots, maybe the biggest shot of the night. The Miami Heat, there was a three-point play right over here. Jimmy Butler was fouled, hit the free throw, cut the Kings' lead down to 1. The Kings come back the other way. Keegan Murray hits a wing three, a wide-open wing three off of an attack to the rim and kick out. That puts the Kings back up by 4. Had the Kings not scored that possession, Miami may have taken the lead. That would have been their first lead of the game. They didn't lead at any point during this game. The Kings led from start to finish, which is also great to see. But that was a big-time shot from Keegan Murray, a shot that the Kings desperately needed to not stop the Miami Heat run, but slow it down a little bit, get the Kings to settle in a little bit more. And not only was it a big shot that he hit, it was a big shot within the flow of the offense, something that we're very used to saying about and seeing from Keegan Murray already in his career. Now the Kings go on the road. Their first road trip of the year. Thank goodness they found a way to win one game, still one out of four on your home floor. Not good enough. The Kings know that. But they got the monkey off their back, right? They've found that first win. Now can they build upon it? There are some winnable games on this road trip. But of course, it's harder to win on the road. You got Charlotte on Halloween, and you best believe the Charlotte Hornets are looking at the Kings as a get-right game themselves. You've got the Miami Heat, who are definitely going to want revenge in their own building. You've got the Orlando Magic, a team the Sacramento Kings should be better than, but should sometimes means nothing with the Kings and their history of playing down to their opponents. And finally, you wrap up at Golden State against a Warriors team that just beat you and put up 50 points on you in the second quarter, 89 points on you in the first half in their building just a week or so ago. It's a tough road trip, but the Kings are going to have good opportunities to pick up some wins on this road trip. Let's see how good the record is when they return to this building. It's going to be a while since we're back in this building. Of course, you can join me for all of the coverage of the Sacramento Kings over the course of this road trip. The conversation continues even if the Kings aren't playing at home. However, the Halloween game, I'm going to be out with my family celebrating Halloween with my son, so I probably won't have an instant reaction. Kings and Hornets post-game show, I'll be watching that game later. It might be a late release or maybe a next day release, so keep an eye out for that. And of course, I want to hear from you, your thoughts on this game, your thoughts on the Kings 1-4 start to the season. Do you feel better now that they've gotten that first win? Tell me about it. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack, email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com, or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. But as for right now, we are done. From the Golden One Center, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.